Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And this is Fred Coulter presenting the truth of God from the Word of God so that you will know how you can come out of this lying, deceitful world and false Christianity that is everywhere. This is number 3 in the series, Teachings of Jesus. Now, what are we to do with the teachings of Jesus? A lot of them were ignored, especially the ones that we covered last week. So let's look at some more, and let's see what we are to do. Now, before we get into it, I want to tell you that you need to request the book, A Harmony of the Gospel in Modern English, The Life of Jesus Christ, because that lays everything out in a step-by-step fashion, chronologically, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. When was Jesus born? When did he begin his ministry? When was he crucified? When was he resurrected? When did he ascend to heaven? And what did he teach the apostles to write down for us? Because there are a lot of people who don't believe the New Testament. And there are a lot of them who say, well, you can't trust the book of John. And guess what? Those are the very ones we need. So let's come to Luke chapter 6. They say now that 81% of Americans believe there's a God. But that's the wrong question. Because a lot of people can say, oh, yes, well, I believe in God, but means nothing to them because they go around and run their life just the way they want to and have nothing to do with God. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? That you profess his name? That's not enough. That you believe that he existed? That's not enough. That you believe that he was the only begotten Son of God? That's a good step forward. That you believe that he taught the things of God the way that God wanted them taught? Now, you're on the right path. And let's see what Jesus says about it. Because we must respond to God his way. So let's read it. Verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not practice what I say? Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. What does practice mean? Practice means you continuously do the things that Jesus has said. So do you believe the things that Jesus has said? Do you know the things that Jesus has said? That's why you need the book, The Harmony of the Gospel. Verse 47, everyone who comes to me. There are a lot of people trying to come to Jesus. You see them on TBN and Daystar, and they're running off to these countries where they have vast crowds. And they say, if you profess the name of Jesus, you are saved, you are saved. And thousands are out there waving their arms and falling to the ground and professing the name of Jesus. And when they get up off the ground, they don't know what they need to do. That is fake Christianity. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words. Now, how can you hear the words of Jesus Christ if you don't study the Gospels and study the Bible? Because remember what we saw last time. Jesus was the God of the Old Testament, manifested in the flesh. So he was God in the flesh, and that's what he was said to be called with Emmanuel, because Emmanuel means God with us, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Now let's see the step here. Here's his words. Now, will you hear the words of Jesus? Now, hear means to listen and to obey. And as you obey, you believe. They're all tied together. What did we cover last time? He said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill or complete them. Not do away with them. Now, will you hear what Jesus said? And practices them. Huh. That means you do it over and over and over again. See? He didn't come to do away with the law or the prophet, and until heaven and earth pass away, are those his words? Did Jesus say that? There is no way that one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until everything be fulfilled. Now, what does everything fulfilled mean? That means the whole plan of God and the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God set up on the earth and eventually New Jerusalem coming down to the earth, Revelation 21 and 22. So you see, there's a whole lot more to it than you go to the fake Christianity on Sunday. That's why we have church at home, so you can study at home on your own. That's why we have thetruthofgod.org, so you can get messages every week based on the Word of God, not on the philosophies of men or the political things of men or things to please men, but to please God. And if you do the things that please God, you will understand the Bible. That's a promise from God. So he says, I'll show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Now, let me ask you a question. How deep is this statement that Franklin Graham says, this is what you need to pray? Oh, Lord, I know you died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. And I accept you as my Lord. And he says that if you say that, you are saved. Now, hold your place here and let's come to Matthew 7. Let's see what Jesus said about his words, because this becomes very important here. Look at what Jesus said. Therefore, everything that you would have men do to you, what do you want men to do to you? To love you? To accept you? To be good to you? Or do you want them to falsely accuse you, steal your property, destroy your house, burn your car, Huh? So also do to them. Now notice the next phrase, for this is the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets tell us what we are to do. And the world is so upside down and filled with Satanism because of false Christianity saying the law is done away. In other words, lawlessness is what Jesus teaches. And there are even those who say, well, if you accept Jesus, it doesn't matter what you do. Huh? You're still saved. God still loves you because his love is unconditional. Well, we're going to see that the love of God is conditional. So he says, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter in through it. And that's what fake Christianity does. And people think, oh, this is so wonderful. And they don't have a clue as to what they're talking about. Now notice verse 14, for narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Are you willing to find it? We'll see what that takes. Now come back to Luke, the 6th chapter. Because this shows the true Christian life, those who are converted by Jesus Christ and God the Father, and we'll talk about God the Father here in just a minute, because that's the most important thing. That, it's like building on a rock. Because the way is going to be difficult. It's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and the rock is Christ. And a flood came and a torment beat against that house, but could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. Now, you've seen floods where rains and rains and rains and rivers rise and the river banks are washed away and all of these elegant houses along certain sections of the river just float off into destruction with the flood that comes, right?
Now we move to some dramatic video. It shows a home collapsing into the ocean. Happened yesterday on North Carolina's Outer Banks. The unoccupied home gave way as that heavy surf ate away the sand beneath the home. The National Park Service says this was actually the second house to fall into the sea yesterday. Officials are warning that other homes along the beach could also be in danger.
And isn't that the way Jesus is describing fake Christianity? There's no truth in it. Now, they use truth, but they don't explain it God's way. They quote the Bible, but then they use certain scriptures that they think that they understand and they don't to fight against other scriptures. Remember this, Word of God is true, Word of God is pure, and there are no contradictions in the Bible. Those who say that there are don't have a clue as to what they're talking about and do not understand the Bible. So if you're going to really believe in Christ and practice what he says, you're going to be converted, you're going to be strong, you're going to be spiritual, you're going to be stable. Now, verse 49, but the one who has heard my words and does not practice them is like a man who built a house on top of the ground without a foundation, and when the torment beat against it, it fell at once, and the ruin of it was great. Now then, let's look at something very important right here in the book of Luke. Let's see one of the most important teachings of Jesus Christ and the revelation that he brings of the Father to us. Verse 21. In the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, And we'll see that he told us to pray to the Father. That you did hide these things from the wise and intelligent. Now notice that. Certain things are hidden from them because they refuse to obey. But did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for it was well-pleasing in your sight to do so. Let's see how much Jesus Christ and God the Father are involved in our lives. Verse 22, then he turned to his disciples and said, all things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father. That is truly no. And who the Father is except the Son and the one. Now listen very carefully. To whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. That's what's in the New Testament. That's what's in the gospel. And the principal thing is that Jesus reveals the Father to you through his word and through your conversion. Let's come to Matthew 11 and see where he said it there. Because if you're coming to God, God is going to personally be dealing with you. Now think about that and everything you do. Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to babes. And that is the truth of the understanding of the Bible. Yes, Father, for it was well-pleasing in your sight to do this. All things were delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, neither does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. Huh. Now that's an amazing thing. Let's come to John, the 6th chapter, and let's see that it is the Father who is dealing in our lives to come to Christ. This is quite a verse. Now, God does this spiritually and through his word. That's why we are to read the word of God, study the word of God, New Testament, Old Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, the writings and the epistles of the apostles James, Peter, and John, and Jude, and the epistles of Paul. Amazing thing. John 6 and verse 44. No one can come to me. That is Jesus Christ. Think about what I said, that little sweet little prayer that Franklin Graham says. You say this nice little prayer, and you're saved, and you go to heaven. That is an utter nonsensical lie and untrue. Here's what's happening in your life if you really want to know about God. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, draws him. Now, what is it in your life that through your mind and through your emotions and through what you're thinking that God is drawing you? Now, you can reject it and go your way and never know what the right outcome would have been. But the Father, now stop and think about it. Who is the Father but the great sovereign of the universe? Now think about how important that is, that the Father is drawing you. How does he do that? Through thoughts? Through responding to your prayers? He draws you, and he draws you to Jesus so you can repent and be baptized and have your sins forgiven so you can begin a whole new, true Christian life in love and obedience to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's read on. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now notice verse 45, because this is what is to happen. Think about it. Think about how great that is. Think about how great the Word of God is. And that's why we've got the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, which you can order on churchathome.org, because you would be surprised how all of these fake prophets and fake Christian ministers and fake theologians and fake translators have tried to destroy the Word of God by mistranslating deliberately and deleting deliberately. Now you need to write in for that information. We have a booklet which compares 27 translations with the faithful version of the Bible. Because you see, the most important thing is that the true, faithful words of God, preserved by God, are properly translated, which we have in the faithful version. Now, note in verse 45 why that's important. It is written in the prophets, all, not done away with, right? And they shall all be taught by God. I'll read that again. They shall all be taught by God. How? Through His Spirit and through His Word. Huh. Amazing thing, isn't it? Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. And no one has seen the Father except he who came down from God. That's Jesus Christ. He has seen the Father. We'll pick it up here next time. But you request the harmony of the gospel, the life of Jesus Christ in modern English, and it will take you through all of the things of the historical happenings in the life of Jesus Christ, and it will show you exactly when he was born. Now think of that. And it wasn't anywhere near December the 25th. That's a lie by religious leaders who worship Satan the devil. So if you believe in that, stop and think for a minute what you believe.
Of course, you've got to remember, ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas trees and all the wreaths and all the garlands and all the mistletoe, every bit of them come from Teutonic paganism. They are not an integral part of Christianity.
Winter solstice, a couple of days later, was the shortest day of the year, and the pagans had something called Saturnalia. And it was a time of lawlessness because all the laws were suspended. And people, a bunch of singers were actually wandered the streets naked singing. And then they had orgies, sexual orgies. It was a mass thing. Well, when the Catholic Church came along in Italy, the Romans and others didn't want to give up their holidays. So they said, okay, we'll Christianize it. And so they said, okay, we'll say the birth of Jesus was the 25th of December. All this business about mistletoe, pagan. Christmas trees, pagan. Giving out gifts, pagan. Every bit of it is pagan. Every single bit of it is pagan. We've Christianized it all. And so that's good. And so we have time, we celebrate for Jesus, and everybody gets all misty-eyed. But the truth is, they're all pagan.
There's an awful lot of folks out here who think that Christmas is the original holiday at this time of year, and we kind of gently, I know Frank and I kind of gently nudge our Christian friends and say, just remember, you got all this stuff from us, because we started this. The tradition of Santa actually comes from the tradition of the Oak King and the Holly King, and Santa is actually the Holly King, who dies at this time of year and gives way to the Oak King to bring back the springtime, because the Oak King reigns during the spring and summer, and the Holly King reigns during the fall and winter. And so Santa's ride is kind of his passing the hat off to the Oak King for the spring and summer. So there are a lot of our traditions are incorporated. This is a very pagan holiday, because it is.
What are you going to do about that? Are you going to repent of that? And repentance means to turn from your sins and start obeying God. Now, another thing you need to write for. We have a series on it right here at Church at Home. The keys to answered prayer. Because praying to God becomes the most important activity in your life when you are converted. And what are the keys to answered prayer? So you see, everything about Jesus Christ has to be put into the true perspective of the setting of when he lived, what he taught, what the apostles wrote, and why we are to follow Christ the way that it tells us, and God the Father be revealed to us. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.